there's a train to come. Don't need no baggage, you just get on board.
Welcome to New Hope for Today with Pastor Tom Belhai, a broadcast ministry of New Hope Church ECO in Washington, Pennsylvania. New Hope Church is dedicated to bringing you sound biblical teaching, the truth of God's Word. So get ready for your New Hope for Today.
Hello and welcome to New Hope for Today. The Advent season we celebrate goes back many centuries. It starts four Sundays before Christmas and is a time when Christians around the world prepare their hearts, remembering the prophecies of Scripture that prepared the world for the coming of the King, God incarnate. We celebrate the coming of Christ 2,000 years ago, but also the coming of Christ in our hearts, and we look forward to our King coming yet again.
All you need is faith. Have a diesel's hum. Don't need no ticket, you just thank the Lord. That's right.
We're going to go to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2. Story of the Shepherds, chapter 2, verse 8 through 4, we'll go to 20, 8 through 20. Hear now the Word of God. In the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. They were terribly frightened. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased." When the angel had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds began saying to one another, "Let us go straight to Bethlehem then and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." So they came in a hurry and found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in the manger. When they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told them about this child. And all who heard it wondered at the things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary treasured all these things, pondering them in her heart. The shepherds went back, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, just as had been told to them. Thus says the Word of God. Let's go to God in prayer. Holy Spirit, we call on you, the God who indwells our very hearts. We ask for your counsel, we ask for your guidance, we ask for your teaching and wisdom, Lord, to make perfect for us your Word today. Speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Unfortunately, Christmas season has been distorted over the years to represent almost the opposite of its true intention. Now, what do we see now in commercials and leading up to? We see selfish, materialistic behavior versus unconditional spiritual well-being through Jesus. And while there may be gift-giving and you want to get it, it's based on fleeting materialism, things that won't last. Year after year, Christmas specials at the stores start earlier and earlier, don't they? We see it again, it's like, It's commercialized Christmas, and that's the norm today. Public Christmas nativity scenes are often contested now. Jesus has been replaced by the new clutter and calamity of commercialization and greed. You can't even say Merry Christmas anymore in some stores. It's Happy Holidays. New Christmas movies have come out that have absolutely nothing to do with Jesus. No connection with God at all, really. It's like this dumbed-down, feel-good message about how you should feel about giving things. That's what it's come down to. See, the modern message of Christmas is Happy Holidays. And the true message of Christmas is joy to the world. It is a battle, if you think of it this way, between happiness and joy. As the word implies, happiness is associated with happenings, happenstance, luck, fortune, that sort of thing. If circumstances are favorable, you're happy. If not, you're unhappy. But joy is a deeper experience. It's longer lasting. It's more intense. There's a difference. When the children are up here playing the bells, there's a deeper sense of joy, isn't there? I mean, it's not just you're happy they're up there, right? It's deeper than that. It's more important than that. It's joy that reaches down to the pit of your heart. I mean, you still think about it. It makes you smile to your faces. You're thinking about it. You're smiling. That's a joy that lasts. Happiness is about self's pleasure. Happiness may dwell on materialistic, worldly pleasure, while joy is derived from soul-satisfying, emotional well-being. Happiness comes from outside things. Joy is about the inner self. It's an example of that if somebody wins a lottery of $10,000, they'd be very happy, right? If you won the some sort of lottery for $10,000. But if you worked hard and you set up a business and you earned $10,000, you would feel joy. Does that make sense? You see the distinction? The ultimate benefit's the same, but the cause being different makes the final emotion different. Joy warms a person's heart while happiness pleases. Happiness brings pleasure, but joy brings true contentment. Beloved, the message of Christmas is not about fleeting happiness given in billboards and text messages and TV commercials and emails and store sale mailings and this sort of distorted feel-good clutter and calamity. The message of Christmas is about everlasting joy. It's a simple yet profound message in which heaven intervenes in your life and proclaims, there has been born for you a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this is not just a message frozen in time 2,000 years ago. This is a message for today. The third Advent candle is the candle of joy, the pink candle. The joy of being in the presence of God. See, the first message to the world about the birth of this Savior, this miraculous, game-changing event that occurred 2,000 years ago. Who did it come to? It didn't come to Herod. It didn't come to Caesar in Rome. It came to lowly shepherds. Luke verse 8 says, in the same region there were some shepherds staying. They were out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. This message was about to come to shepherds. Now, shepherds, we talked about in our adult Sunday school today, and I don't want to go into great detail about it, but shepherds was a lowly position. It's like you were, if you couldn't do anything else, you were a shepherd. If you didn't have any carpentry skills or stone-making skills or those sorts of things, you were a shepherd. Shepherds in Bethlehem, in the Bethlehem Hills, typically watched their sheep and had flocks of sheep, because as people came in for the various ceremonies and the Jewish people would pilgrimage to Jerusalem, they would stop by and pick up a sheep for sacrifice. Very much distorted. What God wanted was the sacrifice of the best of their own flock. But instead, people would come in and pay for it and just deliver it to be sacrificed. So there was sort of a degradation there in what was going on. Their work was kind of boring, but yet it required diligence. You know, it required them to be resourceful. It required a certain kind of ruggedness. They were typically on the job 24/7. And they were with the sheep all the time. You know, during nighttime, they had to sleep out in the fields to watch for thieves and wolves and things like that that might come around. They experienced hardships such as finding simple food. They had to stay out in harsh weather, had to construct primitive lodging for the sheep, for themselves. See, the shepherds were caught up in their jobs. Jobs that they had to perform to provide for their families, much like we do today. I mean, we find ourselves in the same position, in a similar way, like the shepherds, like you, like me, that we work at our jobs day to day. We have responsibility for others, don't we? Family, friends. You know, in some ways, we all face hardships. We all face trials. There's some beautiful days sprinkled in between that we enjoy. See, we're just everyday people doing everyday jobs when it comes down to it. And see, that was the position of the shepherds until the shepherds watched over their flocks by night, going about doing their jobs, and heaven intervened in their lives in a very miraculous way. You know, we've all seen movies about this, of the Nativity. And I mean, I can't even imagine what this would have been like. In verse 9, and an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them. You think about this. You're out in the middle, you're out nighttime in the middle of a field with sheep, with really nobody around, maybe the other shepherd that was a mile away over somewhere else. And this angel comes down and stands before you. And the glory of the Lord shone around them, the Shekinah glory of God that is, you know, Moses had to be put in the cleft of a rock because it was too awesome to even experience. That when Isaiah saw it, he fell flat on his face and said, Lord, I'm undone. This glory shone around the shepherds. And they were terribly frightened. Now, whether you're a shepherd or whether you're a king, if this turn of events would happen to you in the middle of everyday activity, I would think it would scare the shoes right off of you as you're running down the road. I mean, I don't know what response I would have to see that. You know, whoa. It's indescribable. You can't even imagine it. And it would be terribly frightening. But the first words out of the angel's mouth, well, they could have been running away. That would have made them happy. They got out of the trouble. But they stood there and they heard the great message of joy. The first thing out of the angel's mouth, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find the baby wrapped in cloths, not clothes, swaddling cloths, and lying in a manger. And suddenly there appeared with the angel, and here's the next thing. It's one thing, one angel coming down with a lot of glory coming around. Suddenly there appears with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased." This was a miraculous, supernatural occurrence. Can't be explained naturally. Heaven was the barrier between heaven and earth, between God and his creation, was pierced. And the angels came down to proclaim this message of this incarnate God who was being born in a manger. And they appeared suddenly. You know, not only one, but a whole heavenly host. The host would have been thousands. I mean, I can't. How do you even think of that? I mean, I don't know what the shepherds would have been thinking to see all that. It's an awesome thing. See, a free gift from God was given to them. A free gift of God was given them. They could have run. They could have closed their eyes. They could have shut their ears. Stunned. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 7, it says, "Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts." When there is a message that comes out of heaven to you, you don't run away from it. You don't harden your hearts to it. You don't close your ears and eyes and mouth. See, they saw with their eyes, they heard with their ears, they understood with their heart the good news of great joy for all people. A Savior is born. God was calling down to them. They saw and they heard. See, in the same way, God has called you at some point in your life in that way. That he intervened miraculously in your life, this heavenly intervention, and drew you to himself. And maybe not with heavenly messengers and the Shekinah glory of God, but nonetheless, there was a supernatural call in your heart that's very difficult to explain, where God touched you. Where your heart was softened and you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior. See, this message was given to the shepherds, this message of a Savior. Their hearts were changed in a miraculous way. And when that supernatural call is given to you, are you hearing it? Are you seeing it? Are you understanding it with your heart? Do you turn your eyes heavenward to see it, to know it? Faith in the Savior changes your life in a miraculous way. And it comes down to this. How will you respond? How will you respond? The shepherds heard the message and they responded. In Luke 15 through 19, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, now this whole episode is kind of gone, the shepherds began saying to one another, "Let's go straight to Bethlehem then and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." So they came in a hurry and they found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in the manger. When they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told them about this child, the message of the gospel. And all who heard it wondered at the things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary treasured all these things in her heart, pondering them. See, when the shepherds heard the message, they didn't turn away. They didn't all sit up there and deliberate. Well, what do we do next? You know, what do we do? You know, we got to watch these sheep, and well, I got all kind of other excuses. And what do we, you know? After all, it's late, and I'm kind of tired. And you know, what did they do? They responded quickly. Let us go straight to Bethlehem, then they said. And in the Greek, it's this sort of this imperative. Commanding idea that as they got this message, they responded and went. Their eyes were set heavenward. In that moment, they were God-centered, not self-centered. And so they responded. They went to be in the presence of God. The call to their hearts brought about this urgent longing that we have to know the way, the truth, and the life. The shepherds heard, they responded, and their eyes were open. They saw, and they spent their lives praising God. The last verse in verse 20, the shepherds went back glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, just as had been told them. Beloved, the shepherd's life is our life. When God calls you, respond, praise Him. The calling, the advent of joy, this third Sunday of Advent, is near and here. And the Lord is calling to your heart to understand that joy. Not fleeting happiness. Just as the message was delivered to the shepherds, God's message is delivered to you. Hear His call to your heart. Respond, see, and praise God with great joy. Don't be consumed with attaining happiness, but pursue everlasting joy. The modern message of Christmas is happy holidays. The true message of Christmas is joy to the world. Christmas is not about fleeting happiness, TV commercials, ads. It is truly about everlasting joy. A simple yet profound message in which heaven intervenes in your life and proclaims, there has been born for you a Savior who is Christ the Lord. For good reason, the third Advent candle is the candle of joy. The joy of being in the presence of Jesus, God come to mankind. Amen. Let's go to God and pray.
Thank you, Father. Thank you so much for the story of the Christmas shepherds, and help us to learn a lesson from them, that when heaven pierces down into our hearts, that we indeed do see you, that we hear you, that we listen to your word to us in our hearts and our minds and our souls, that we may get up just like the shepherds did and immediately go seek the Lord, seek you. Jesus, we want that relationship. We want to be near you. We want to hear your voice. We want to be obedient to the word of God, to the will of God our Father. Be with us today and keep us through the week, that we may come back again and gather together as the children of the living God. In the strong and powerful name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior, we all say, Amen.
We hope you've been enjoying our radio ministry. We want to invite you to our free annual Christmas concert on Saturday, December 20th at 7 p.m. here at New Hope Church ECO. It's at 22 Cortez Drive in Washington, Pennsylvania. Check out our website for more information. Until next week, God bless you.
Thank you for listening to New Hope for Today with Pastor Tom Belhai and New Hope Church ECO in Washington, Pennsylvania. If you don't have a church home, please come and visit this Sunday at 11 a.m. For more, check out newhopechurcheco.org or call 724-222-7490. Love God, love others. That's what New Hope Church is all about. New hope, new life, new family, new mission, all in Christ Jesus. Be sure to tune in next week for more New Hope for Today. Until then, may God bless you.